Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The poor widow teaches us by example how to give an offering to God. For her and for us, there is no line of division between what belongs to me and what belongs to God. She had a strong faith. She understood that we belong to God, and what belongs to us belongs to God, and what we need, God will supply. That's the sign of a strong faith. That is why she was able to do what she did. Her subsistence did not depend on the two little copper coins. That was not how God was going to sustain her. She knew that God could sustain her in a different manner. And so when it came to give a gift of honor to God, out of a grateful heart, she put in everything. She could have cut it in half, put one little copper coin to God and one for me, and all of us would say, wow, that's really nice. But her love and gratefulness to God exceeded that one little coin. She placed both of them in there. That's the sign of a strong text. That is why she was able to do that, a strong faith, rather. The text of Mark is very timely for this Sunday we call Pledge Sunday or Stewardship Sunday. Imagine over a year ago, I picked this text for this Sunday, not knowing that the stewardship committee, in my absence, was going to combine that this Sunday would be Pledge Sunday here. I smiled to myself last Thursday night when I first took out my notes on this sermon for this Sunday. The Holy Spirit has a sense of humor. And He wanted it to happen this way, I'm sure, that on Pledge Sunday we talk about giving of ourselves back to God. That has to be done as a fruit of faith. What is faith? Faith is an instrument that allows you to see God, to hear Him, to perceive His action against the backdrop of your life. You look backwards to the back, to the rearview mirrors, and you see all the instances on how God guided, encouraged, enabled, healed you, and directed your life in ways that you would never even have dreamt. God is active in our life, and when we perceive it, we can say we have faith. But faith is not something that we come up with, that we produce, that we hold. Faith is a gift from God to us that's given to us at Holy Baptism, and that faith is developed through our study of the Word of God for the rest of our lives. At the seminary, we talk in about direct faith and reflected faith. The direct faith is what God has done for me. Reflected faith, what God does for others through me. It's this L-shaped proposition. Justification, sanctification. What God has done for me and what God wants to do for the world through me. God didn't give me all these gifts that He gave me for me to put them all in a mount and not mind anybody else, to live selfishly. He gave me enough for me to live generously in association with the rest of the world. So we must understand that the widow was able to do what she was able, what she did, due to her strong faith. I see people with strong faith all around us here. People that spend endless hours laboring for the Lord, giving of their means generously, making incredible offers. The fact that our playground has been paid for and that we would have to cancel an auction dinner What a shame. God steps in and says, I gave you, means I gave you faith. Do something. And that person, several people stepped forward and gave generously so that this playground, before the campaign of fundraising really heated up, was done for. That's marvelous stuff. This is reflected faith. People that mind the needs of others around them and not only themselves. People that are part of the community of God, that see themselves as a member of the Una Sancta, the family of God. What is an offering to the Lord? Does it have to be money or time or talent or prayer? I visit every month a former Sunday school teacher that was very involved here. Pastor, I love to do what I did, but nowadays there is nothing I can do for the church anymore. And I said, yes, there is. The most important of your gifts to the church is to pray for the church. And we pray every time when we are together, we pray for the well-being of the church of God on earth, and especially this, our little parish called Blessed Savior. God hears those prayers. And he brings us all together under one roof in his family. So what is an offering to God? It is a thank you to God. Every time we send a gift from our congregation to Concordia Publishing House in Brazil, and that we do once a year, and full disclosure, the editor is a fellow pastor, former roommate of mine, and dear friend that I love like a brother. And whenever we send him a gift to publish yet another devotional for the children, another one for the pastors in Brazil, another book of theology and so forth, he sends me this lengthy letter. And I always point out two mistakes that he has made in that letter. One, to say, Matt, I'm impressed that even though you are out there, you still mind the needs of our church here. I say that's mistake number one, Nilo. Nilo Wachholz is his name. First, there is only one church. There is not church out there and church here. Number two, you don't really have to send us a thank you because our gift to you was our thank you to God. And when somebody gives you a gift and you say thank you to them, do you expect a thank you for your thank you note? And so, but I know it's all done properly and to be responsible and so forth, but truly, our offering to God is a thank you to God. Adam and Eve's boys were out in the field, and one knew that he had to give God a gift, and he gave it begrudgingly. His little brother Abel came by and gave a proper gift, sheep without stain, that were perfect, immaculate. What are you doing? I'm offering a gift of gratefulness to my God for blessing my flocks so much. It was a proper gift and a gift according to his faith. And now let's talk a little bit about the role of faith in giving. I talk in my Bible classes to impress them mostly in Latin terms. I use the word analogia fidei, the analogy of faith. You know an analogous clock. You need both hands to tell you what time it is. If one is on the 10 and the other one is on the 2, you know it's 10 past 2. But if there is only one pointed to the 10, you don't really know. You need both. You need to analyze one in respect to the other. Our gifts have to be analogous to faith. People with strong faith can give great gifts to the Lord. And I see them laboring here all the time. I see them giving gifts all the time. People with small faiths should not try to give big time gifts. That'll break them. Big time gifts out of anything but out of gratefulness to God are giving for some other reason. And God doesn't accept those gifts. He sees into our hearts. That's totally different how the world operates. Suppose that my wife and I belong to the country club and they need a new tool shed installed in the back nine. And it's been a year out there and nobody is doing anything, so my wife and I donate the tool shed. And then on Friday night, we walk into the clubhouse for dinner and everybody whispers and looks at us, say, "Those are the Sanders. They donated the shed for the back nine." And we go in and people say, "Hey, thank you for that. Don't even mention it. It's nothing for me." Pride at work has no place in offering to God. You can only offer to God in proportion to your faith. Then he is pleased. And guess what? Then you are filled with joy and happiness because you interacted with God on God's terms, not on yours. You submitted to God. You let God be God and tell you how it's done. You did not shape and form God into a semblance that you invented, into an image that you concocted. You did not limit God to your understanding. You are rendered into awe in his presence. And then, yes, then he is God and you are the believer. And it is very, very important that in all we do, we give to God in proportion to our faith. And I'm not talking about money. Actually, I was a little displeased. In the early service, we had a cover in which there were coins and underneath it said, "Render to God what belongs to God," suggesting that you render to God coins. No, that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. People were testing him, and he said, they said, "Is it legal to pay taxes?" And he said, "Well, give me a coin." And they brought him a coin and said, "Whose effigy is on the coin?" "Caesar's," they said. Then Jesus flipped the coin back at them and said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God, namely your hearts, your love, your lives. That belongs to God." And so our whole living is an offering to God. So when God turns his ear to us, he hears a doxology. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, you creatures here below. Praise him, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And the only nourishment for your faith is the Bible. It's no education, not even biblical education. It is the Holy Spirit nourishing you through his word. And I see it so often in our congregational life, like picking this text on the widow's mite for today, Stewardship Sunday. I see it also applied in many other instances. The widow had a strong faith, and her gift was precisely in proportion to her faith. She knew that if God was not going to use the two coins to sustain her, God would find other ways to sustain her. She trusted in God. We can trust too. God never fails, never goes back on his gifts, never takes away. He only grants. And remember, grateful hearts are the only source of a gift to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.